Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you in this virtual connection. I just want to give God some praise. If you're just thankful to be alive and God's grace in your life, can you just lift up those hands? Can you clap? Can you put some emoticons in the chat? Hallelujahs. Just thanking God for the great things that He is doing. I'll tell you today, I am thinking about the message, just ready to get into it as we talk more on fulfilling our calling. And I want you to know that God has done a special work in your life. Yes, He's given us all a special gift, and we're going to talk about that today. I want to thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. We have so many things that are going on throughout the week to help us to grow in the Lord. On Mondays, Monday Manna at 7 o'clock on the virtual connection, we have different teachings that are coming in, different preachers that are ministering to our hearts. On Tuesday, on our noonday Bible study on our virtual connection, we're going through the book of Genesis, just taking excerpts and just learning about our history. And then on Wednesdays, on our virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Luke, line upon line, precept upon precept. And then we have a Thursday in-person Bible study at 6 o'clock at Ebenezer, right in the sanctuary from 6 to 7. And we invite you out, if you can put that in your schedule. We're studying the book of 1 Corinthians. As always, continue to please pray for our different services, our 8:45 in-person service, our 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 in-person service. And I just want to thank you for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when we purpose in our heart. You're not giving grudgingly or of necessity, but we are thankful for what the Lord has done. Whether you're giving in our in-person services or giving online or sending it into our secure mailbox, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. We've been able to reach out to the community, bless those that are near and far, and we thank God for just His amazing provisions. Well, I want us to just focus in on the Lord. I want us to go in a time of worship and preparing our hearts to receive the word today. We'll see you soon.
This morning, our scripture is coming from 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. And our topic is being steadfast. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things are hard to understand, which are untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You know that's happening right now.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 17 says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord hath brought me through all my trials. Y'all hear me? And I praise Him. He didn't cast me away. He stood right by me through all my troubles. When I was lost, He didn't go astray.
He took my sins,
sing, honey,
and He saved my soul. He cleansed me up,
sing, honey,
and He made me whole. Oh, Jesus died on Calvary for the whole wide world to see. It was a great thing that He did for me.
Oh,
it was a great thing that He did for me.
Happy clapping.
It was a great thing when He set me free.
Oh,
Jesus died on Calvary for the whole wide world to see. It was a great thing daddy did for me.
Listen.
He's been my doctor. He's been my lawyer. He never left me.
Yeah.
He's been my friend. He's been my comforter.
Yeah.
When I was lonely, when I was lost, he, Jesus, took me.
Oh, he took my sin.
Come on, happy shop here.
And he saved my little soul. He cleaned me up.
Oh, yeah.
And he made me whole.
Oh, Jesus died on Calvary for the whole wide world to see. It was a great thing that he did for me. Oh, it was a great thing that he did for me. Yes, it was a great thing when he set me free.
Yes,
Jesus died on Calvary for the whole wide world to see. It was a great thing that he did for me.
The Lord is so, so good. Any amens out there? I am ready to get into the lesson of the day, and I pray that your heart is ready also as we get back into that broad topic that we've been dealing with, fulfilling our calling. I'm telling you, as I've been going through and just studying these particular individuals, especially the one that we're going to deal today, I'm realizing more and more that God has a special gift for all of us. It doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter what challenges you have in your life, God wants to use you. Remember that memory scripture that we've been going over comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and that 19th verse, 6 and 19. If you just read it aloud with me so that we can read it into our mind, that it can get down into our hearts, that memorization take place. So 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? That is good news to know, that God is working something beautiful out in our lives. Before we go any further, I just want you to go in a word of prayer with me, that we can just ask God to speak to our hearts. Let's pray. Father, I just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and I just want to say thank you. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, as our teacher and our guide. Would you lead us into all truth? I pray for those that are listening and viewing in. Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know you today, I pray that today be their day, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Thank you, Lord, that it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Thank you for that gift, Lord. Now, Lord, as we get into this word, I ask you to please make it so plain, so easy to be understood, that we can be encouraged in our callings and walk closer to you. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're going back to the book of Judges. If you've been with us at the beginning of this series, we're there, and God just continues to speak to my heart. So let's get into the book of Judges, chapter 6. Judges, chapter 6, and I want us to focus in on that 12th verse. Judges, chapter 6, and that 12th verse. It reads, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" That's a heavy scripture. Listen to that again. Judges 6:12. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" I want to speak from a title today. What God has for you, it is for you. Yes. What God has for you, it is for you. Many years ago, the Miami Mass Choir sang this song, and bless my heart, and still blesses my heart, "What God has for you, it is for you. And it goes on and makes it personal. What God has for me, it is for me. I know without a doubt that He'll bring me out. What God has for me, it is for me. Isn't that good news? As we're back in the book of Judges, the time frame is about 1043 to 1011 BC, somewhere in there. So much has happened within this book. God has raised up judges. These judges, also known as saviors, God would use them as the enemy would constantly come in. Today we pick up because it's the time of the Midianites. Israel, because of their disobedience, has had a long, many years of being in captivity, in and out, and struggling just for their survival. And so now God is raising up people to give them a glimpse of hope, to let them know that God has not forgotten them. Let's just jump into Judges 6:11, because in that we pick up this person named Gideon. Yes, Gideon. We're going to give a lot of background on him via the scriptures today, but Gideon is going to give us encouragement that no matter, and I said this earlier, no matter who we are, no matter where we come from, no matter the challenges that have occurred in our lives, God knows you. And God wants to use you. Any hallelujah, just say amen. Put it in the chat, amen. Let's jump into this, Judges 6:11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under a terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Here's our first point. He will meet you where you are. He will meet you where you are. This is critical. Because Gideon, we find him hiding out. Yes, he's in this wine press, and he is doing this in secret because the Midianites, the enemy, would come in and they would actually ravage the place. They were one of the first known society to actually take camels and make them domestic so that they could actually ride into camp. And they had a major army of camels, which gave them the upper hand against those that they were going against. Dr. Larry Craig, a Christian psychologist and conference seminar speaker, he writes this: God meets you where you are at, not where you pretend to be. Wow. Can you put in the chat just wow? I want to read that again. God meets you where you are at, not where you pretend to be. Saints, I believe this is a challenge to us as we're dealing with what God has for you. It is for you that we've got to realize where we are. So many times that we can try to hide from others. We can put on that hypocritical attitude, that hypocritical thought and lifestyle, which we're putting a mask on. But we've got to take the mask off and know that God wants to meet us right where we're at, in our insecurities, in our struggles, in our handicaps, in our problems, even at the point that we can confess our sins and know that God is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please hear me. Gideon is living in fear. God put this on my heart, and this is going to be a precursor to something that we're going to talk a little later in the message. He says, in order to fulfill your calling, you must face your fears. Yes, in order to fulfill your calling and my calling, we've got to face our fears. Please, to walk in the fulfillment of our calling in the Lord, we're going to go up against adversaries. There's going to be some things that we don't believe we can do. That's why we need to walk in faith. Look at Judges 6:12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Here's another point. Who are you? Yes, who are you? One of my favorite characters in the cartoon and the background, I remember coming up with Superman. You remember that original Superman? It was the cartoon and it came on and they made films. Superman, known as Clark Kent. It was always intriguing to me that Clark could put on some glasses, and him putting on some glasses, nobody knew that he was Superman. And so he actually lived a dual life, and you would always look at him and he would take his glasses off and then he would become Superman, and he would go into the booth. Remember the booth, those who remember phone booths, and he'd take his shirt off, and all of a sudden the Superman attire, his underwear would be on, and he would go and save the day. And the question always came, are you Superman or are you Clark Kent? He struggled with these personalities, especially in relationships, trying to figure out, who do I want to be? Do I want to be Clark Kent? Do I want to be Superman? And I ask you the same question, who are you? Gideon has to decide who he is. He's hiding out from the Midianites. He's a weak man. We're going to find out that. But God says, you're a mighty man of valor. Look at this a little closer again. This Judges 6:12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you. That's so good to know. He's saying, Gideon, in spite of your issues, your struggles, your hangups, I am with you. I am walking with you. I got you. I'm hugging you. I know that it doesn't feel like that. Any hallelujah. Sometimes we don't feel like God is with us. Sometimes we feel like that we're making mistake after mistake, but God says, you got to know who you are, and we are who God says we are. This is important. God has a habit of speaking things that be not though they were. Yes, Abraham, he spoke this, Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in whom in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, here it is, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This is what God is doing to Gideon. He's like, I know you don't know this, but you're a mighty man. I know your life up to this point hasn't shown the mightiness that I've already put, the gift that I've given you on the inside, but I want to let you know, I want to give you an insight on who you are. I ask you this question, who is God calling you to be? Even when you can't see that particular person, where is God calling you to go? Even when you don't even have a desire to go where God wants you to go, but in that God has already put a stamp on your life. But notice, Gideon is struggling with fear. He's struggling with doubt. He's struggling with insufficiency. Look at Judges 6:13, what God has for you, it is for you. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? He's got all of these questions. You're a mighty man of valor. He's like, because let me show you. He is trying to justify his weakness. But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Here's the point, dealing with doubts. I personally believe that it is okay to get our doubts out. It is okay to bring them to the Lord, to talk to them. I believe that is a pertinent part of prayer, where we can go before God and we say, I got some doubts. I got some struggles. Lord, why did you do this? God, why did this happen? And sometimes God will just, he'll just give us that stillness, that quietness to know that he's God alone. He does not have to give us any explanation. You ask Job, you'll say, yeah, I found out that God is God all by himself. But how have the struggles that you've gone through actually worked in God's plan? Those doubts that you're dealing with in your life, God can actually turn those to strength. Can you put in the chat, say strength? He can turn those things out. Have you ever come to the point and just wondering, God, can you even use me? God, in spite of what I've done and my struggles that are in my life, can you use me? I want you to know God can use you. He is working things out right now in your life that you can fulfill the calling he has for you. My goddaughter actually found herself in a situation that her child that was birthed from her loins, he actually was blind. It was born blind. They didn't find out that he was born blind until a few months after he was born, and through all the diagnosis, all those issues. He can see. And so what happened as she's raising him, she's finding out that people are blaming her. They would come to her and ask her, what did you do while you were carrying this child? What did you eat certain kinds of food? All of this. And she said, I was feeling that the walls were closing in me, that somehow I did something wrong to cause this to happen to my child. She said she was in the midst of despair, but she went to her pastor, and her pastor was listening to the voice of the Lord and gave her this scripture out of John 9:1. I'm talking about what God has for you. It is for you. It says, now when Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Yes, she identified with this scripture because her son, blind from birth, John 9:2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Gideon is dealing with this. He doesn't have a physical blindness, but he feels like his life has been impotent. His life has been handicapped. He's been hamstrung. But please, please, please realize, whatever the challenges are in your life, God is up to something. Look at John 9:3. The disciples, they're like, oh, who did this? Why did this happen? But Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Who are you to know that no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter those things that you're complaining about, that God has a beautiful plan? She found out that God had a plan. And even now, as he's growing up, he's becoming a master musician. Can't see, but man, he can play the keys and different instruments, all because God has a plan for his life. Judges 6:14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, Gideon, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Here's a point. Get this one, please. Just go. Yeah, just go. Just go. There's so many times in our lives that we need to stop questioning. We need to stop fighting against God, and we just got to step out on faith. I'm going to talk about that more as we go on. You just got to push through all of that, because our answers to our questions, sometimes they're not going to suffice. We've got to realize God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so many times in our lives, we won't just, Lord, show me a sign. Gideon was one of those, show me a sign. But sometimes you just got to go. In order to fulfill our calling, we must walk in faith. Did you get that? In order to fulfill our calling, we must walk in faith. I want to define that even more. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Gideon literally blinded to his future. He cannot see how in the world that he can be a mighty man of valor. But God says, I got a calling. I had a calling on you from the foundations of the earth. I'm just showing up. Now, this angel of the Lord, we've taught this on previous Sunday. We believe that this is Jesus. Yes, he has showed up in the Old Testament. Remember, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, a plurality in Genesis, let us make man in our own image. That this theophany was a precursor to Christ coming in the New Testament, born of the Virgin Mary. But he shows up every now and then for these wonderful missions, letting men know, I can still use you, letting women know that I can still use you. I've got a calling in your life. In order to have a good testimony, we got to go. Yeah, we've got to just go. Let me tell you, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it our elders obtain a good testimony. Anybody want a good test? Can you put in the chat, say testimony? I want a good testimony in my life. Just go. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. The question is, are you willing to go? Gideon has to come over this hump right here. He has to get over the mountain edge, and he's just got to go and step out on the word that God has given him, so that the calling can be fulfilled in his life. Look at Judges 6:15. So he said to him, Oh my Lord, how
can I save Israel? Now, know within that scripture, as you look at that Lord capitalized, that theophany, God himself, it says, indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Here's the point. Fear. Yes, fear. We talked about that earlier as we got into these scriptures. If you can put in the chat, just put fear. Fear. Fear is a big thing. Fear manifests itself in so many ways. There are many people that are walking through life that are really encompassed by fear. That fear can be manifested in panic attacks. That fear can be manifested with our heartbeats getting out of rhythm. That fear can be manifested in how we eat, or if we're taking care of our health, or if we drive. I know some people that they have fear of driving in certain places, so they don't drive on the highway. They always take, you know, the slower streets. And that's fear that encompasses us because of trauma. I know even within my life, because of an accident that I had many years ago, when I go across a certain intersection, fear tries to overtake me. And I'm really super sensitive what's going on in that intersection, because I'm constantly having flashbacks of the past fear. But fear can be debilitating. Yes, any amens out there? I'm telling you, if you've ever been attacked by fear, it can shut you down. And I believe the devil used fear as a tactic to shut down our callings. Many, many people have walked away from being a pastor because of fear. Many people have walked away from being a good daddy because of fear. Many moms have given up shaping and forming their children in those critical years, all because of fear. Fear can come and encapsulate. It was Franklin D. Roosevelt. He said this: the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. But I would tell Franklin Roosevelt that fear is a tough one. And when fear shows up, it looks like something that we need to be afraid of. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he summed it up like this: always do what you are afraid to do. Yeah, always do what you're afraid to do, because those challenges come in our lives, and God uses those times of fear that we can step out on faith. Now, this is important. There was a Vietnamese monk. His name was actually Thich Nhat Hanh. He made this quotation, or said this quotation, really summarizing what we're talking about with Gideon and his challenges. He said, fear keeps us focused on the past or worried about the future. There ought to be some shouts now. If we can acknowledge our fear, we can realize that right now we are okay. Right now, today, we are still alive and our bodies are working marvelously. Our eyes can still see the beautiful sky. Our ears can still hear the voices of our loved ones. So we need to realize where we are right now. Gideon had to come to the point of right now. He can't live into the future. He can't live in the past. He's just got to go. He's got to realize God is fulfilling a beautiful calling in him right now. Look at Judges 6:15. So he said to him, oh Lord, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? There's the doubts again and the fear coming up. Indeed, my clan, he even has some ideas. He said, you know what, God, in case you don't know, I come from the weakest clan in Manasseh. And he says, I'm the least in my father's house. I'm the least one. Why choose me? I'm going to tell you why God chooses unlikely people to do unlikely things, because God is God alone. He wants us not to glory in ourselves, not to glory in our education, not to glory in our strength, but he wants us to depend totally on him. And God can use a man and a woman that have come to the end of themselves and say, God, it is not about me, but it's all about you. You ought to have some shouts of praise. 2 Timothy 1:7 says it like this: for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Are there any folks that say, you know what, I'm going to overcome my fear? I realize that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul the apostle was challenged with fear and doubt and other circumstances that had attacked his body, but he came to this point. He says, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Can you scream out what God has for me? It is for me. Yes, it does not matter how many attacks that come in your life. It does not matter the struggles. I'm saying that over and over. It's going to get to your heart soon. Please understand, God wants to fulfill his calling in your life. Look at Judges 6:16. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. God is showing up and showing out now. God said, watch this. All you got to do is walk in what I'm telling you. I'm going to make you, you are stronger than you realize you are. Judges 6:17. Then he said to him, if now I found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. So Gideon, this is a constant issue within his life. He said, God, show me a sign. But at the same time, I respect it. Gideon's like, okay, all right, I'm warming up to this idea, but I got to make sure that it's you, that you capitalize there. He said, I need to make sure that this is really a word from the Lord. I don't think he really understands how impactful it is that the Messiah, that this theophany, God is right before him. Judges 6:18, do not depart from here, he says. I pray until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. Here's the point. Faith and the sacrifice. Faith and the sacrifice. Once we get to the point of hearing God's voice, getting past our doubts, getting past our fears, understanding who God says we are, then there comes a point that we do step out on faith and a sacrifice has to take place. Gideon's faith is actually growing at this point. In the chat, can you put growing, 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 growing? That's how we continue in God. There should always be a growing process. It concerns me that some saints get to a point, they stop growing, they retire, they go, you know what, I am good. But I'm telling you, if God has left you here on this earth, this terra firma, God wants us to grow. There's something in your life that needs to drop off, and there's something in your life that needs to grow up. God is revealing, and he's transforming us, he's shaping us. Jesus' disciples actually struggle with faith. Yes, in Luke 17:5, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. You ever felt like that? Even as we're teaching on fulfilling our calling, some of you are saying, Lord, increase my faith. I can sense, God, that you do have something for me in my life. And some of you say, God, I don't even know how you can use me. But I tell you, I dare you to say, increase my faith. Can you put it in the chat? Increase my faith. Wherever you're sitting or standing right now, say, Lord, increase my faith. Be careful. Luke 17:6. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. God said, all you need is just a little bit of faith. In that same respect as this theophany, God himself speaks to Gideon. He's saying, all you got to do is step out. All you got to do is trust me. As that faith is growing in Gideon, Gideon says, stay right here. Stay right here. I'm going to get my sacrifice prepared. I'm going to praise you. I know it's you, Lord. I thank you for being in my presence and seeing me when I couldn't even see myself. Look at Judges 6:18. Do not depart, he says, from here. I pray until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. He wants to make this angel a sacrifice to this angel of the Lord, this theophany, God himself. Now please understand, you know, when we want to eat or we want to bring in different things, it takes us just a little bit of time. We can go to Burger King, we can go to McDonald's, we can go to Golden Corral, we can go to other restaurants where we're served. But at this time, in order to prepare a sacrifice, man, you had to go, you had to look for it, you had to bring for the wheat that he's going to use. It took some time to prepare this, but God waited for him. I'm telling you, God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you to embrace the calling that's in your life, and it's taken to this point for you to realize that God is doing something special in you, and to know what God has for you, it is for you. And never to forget, in order to fulfill our callings, we actually become the sacrifice. Yes, Romans 12:1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Are you with me? And it says in this living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That is the bottom line. Gideon, I want you to sacrifice your life. I want you to be used of me. I want you to press past all of that mess and say, God, use me for your service. Look at Judges 6:19. What God has for you, it is for you. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephod of flour. This was a costly, literally, remember, he's hiding so the Midianites don't take his wheat. And he said, you know what, I'm going to give you a big offering simply because you've turned my life upside down. It says the meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. Some of you getting hungry, you can smell the aroma of that goat that's been cooked. You can smell the bread of this wheat offering that's being made. Judges 6:20, the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. Can you see that? As the meat is laid out and the bread is there, unleavened bread, and he puts broth on the rock. Judges 6:21, then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock. Somebody say fire and the rock. Can you put in the chat fire and the rock, and consume the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Here's the point, the miracle. Yes, the miracle. All of this has been building up to the point that Gideon can say, you know what? I have seen the Lord, and I recognize a miracle has taken place right in front of me. I'm so glad that what God has for you, it is for you. Are there any glad folks? Gideon has to take time, as said earlier, to prepare this sacrifice, this large sacrifice. And now that it's done, in a moment, in a blinking of an eye, a miracle takes place. Yes, God takes that staff out. And when he touches it, then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And then all of a sudden the fire rose from the rock, out of the rock, and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Remember Elijah? Same thing. God loves to work with fire and consume things. We've seen him over and over use this fire and this burning. All of a sudden now Gideon is confirmed, as we pull this together in Judges 6:22. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. Man, that eureka light comes on. Revelation occurs. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Can you put in the chat, face to face, face to face? I know I want you to get this. When you come in contact with God, you will never be the same. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how miserably you fail. When you come in contact with God, you'll never be saying, we fall down, but we get up. You know why? Because God picks us up. He dusts us off and say, you know what? Take another step. I remember my kids, when they were learning to walk, they would fall down, and I wouldn't say, you know what, just give up, you're never going to walk. No, I'd pick them back up, and I'd help steady them. And after they practice over and over again, they learned how to walk. It's the same thing with Gideon. For I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die. Gideon, so overwhelmed, he realizing this is God himself that has showed up, that was said in the Old Testament, if you see God, you would die. So he thinks he's going to die at that point. He's already forgotten that he's a mighty man of valor. God has called him for a special plan. So Gideon built an altar day up to the Lord. Look at this. And called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still an Ophrah of the Abizarites. Here's the final point. Peace in your calling. Yes, peace in your calling. Can you just say peace, 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 peace? Can you put in the chat, peace, peace in your calling? We've got to come to the point that we settle down in our calling. Yes, we realize what God has said, we settle down, and we get peace. Even though we're going through, even though we don't know how it's going to work, there's just peace. And I'm telling you, I've been walking with the Lord a bit, and I'm telling you, when you got that peace, I'm telling you, we mess up. We fall down, as said earlier, but we get up. Why? Because I got the peace of God, and I want you to have the peace of God to know what God has for you. It is for you. When you realize God is speaking to you, you can't help but have peace. When you are tuned into that still small voice, when you're taking time for more devotions and reading his scriptures, when you're taking time, when you can get your praise on without a praise team, without any musicians, without any music that's being pumped in, but all the music is in your mind and your heart, and you can be in your living room, or you can be in your bedroom or your bathroom, and you're able to sense the presence of God and think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done. I'm telling you, that's when you realize what God has for you. It is for you. I believe that we need to be built up in a spiritual way, and we've got to decide that these spirituality, we're going to lay some altars down before God, because we understand God is changing us from the inside out. I wonder if there's somebody willing to build an altar of peace. That's what Gideon said, that symbol of peace. There ought to be some saints that remember where God has brought you from. There ought to be some folks that realize, you know what, God brought me through that accident, brought me through that surgery, brought me through when people didn't like me, brought me through when I was in a broken family, brought me through when I didn't even feel like living. I'm telling you, what God has for you, it is for you. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Them got excited. The other day, I was over at Claps, the rest home, and I was able to see one of my ministers friend. Actually, he called me. I didn't even know who he was, and I was going in visiting someone else, and he called out to me. I'm going to put his name, Reverend Austin. Many of you know that he went through a terrible accident. He began to tell me about the accident, that it broke both his legs up to his hip, that his ribs were broken, and he let me know that his face had been cracked, and he said that while he was going through all this intensity of the tragic accident, he said his heart stopped, and they had to do the defibrillator, but God brought him back. He said even now, as he's going through the rehabilitation, he said, I'm just now being able to put my right foot down, and I'm able to move it, and he says my left one, I can only put my toes down on the edge of it, but he said, I will not complain. I'm alive, and God still has more for me to do. I'm telling you, what a testimony when you got the peace of God, when the enemy has come in like a flood, but God has raised up a standard. There ought to be some shouts of praise. That's why I'm excited today to know the Christ, the anointed one, the same one that showed up in the Old Testament, showed up in the New Testament, born of the Virgin Mary, grew up at the age of 12 and said, didn't you know, mom and dad, it's now time for me to get about my father's business. That same Jesus at the age of 30 walked the streets of Galilee healing the sick and raising the dead. But I'm so glad to know what God has for me. It is for me. The only way that we could receive the totality of what God had for us, Jesus had to go to the cross of Calvary, taking nails in his hands and nails in his feet. You remember that theophany of the Old Testament, taking that staff out. I'm so glad that even though he took that staff of wood in the Old Testament, and there was a sacrifice that was put before, and the fire went up, Jesus was hung on that old cross. Yes, nails in his hands and nails in his feet. The fire of God of judgment came upon him right on the cross. He cried out, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even when the judgment fell on him, he who was out sin, he carried our griefs and bore our pains. There ought to be some shouts of praise. He dropped the head and the locks of his shoulder. That was our sacrifice. That is our sacrifice. They peeled his body off that cold, clean cloth, and they put him in that cold tomb. But I want you to know that the sacrifice got up on the third day with all power and all glory. Yes, he got up for you, and he got up for me, that the fulfilling of God could be take place in our lives. And I just want you to give some time that you can praise him and thank him in spite of how you feel, in spite of your anxieties, in spite of your struggles, that know that God is real, and what God has for you, it is for you. The enemy has a fear. His fear is that we will embrace God's calling. We will hear God's voice, and the peace of God will go so deep in us that no matter what he does, we will still walk in the power of God. That the fulfillment of the Lord will take place in our lives. And when it's all said and done, we'll hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." I encourage you, we have the example of Gideon, but aren't you glad for the example of Christ? He has promised us eternal life. If you don't believe in him, I pray that today be your day, that the light comes on, that you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from dead, and said you will be saved. Remembering Gideon when the light came on, that he realized, wow, this is the Lord. And God said, it's going to be okay. It's okay. And the sacrifice went up. In that same respect, when you accept Christ, everything changes. Yes, God begins to transform you from the inside out. Yes, there's still stuff of the past. There's still a lot of baggage that we're carrying. But man, when you really come into the knowledge of the truth, you know that God is more than enough. To the saints, I encourage you, we're in some tough times. So much is happening on our news. I'm telling you, in the White House, happening overseas, so many things, weather patterns are becoming strange. I'm telling you, God is moving in this season and time, and he wants to use you. More souls need to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Until that day, we can see Jesus come back on a cloud where every eye can see him. I want us to be ready. I want us to be walking in the fulfillment of our calling. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for the life of Gideon, Lord, for sharing this with us through these holy scripts. Lord, help us to see ourselves. Help us to recognize without you, we are nothing, but with you, all things are possible. Thank you, God, for saving souls, adding to your body as you see fit. And thank you for raising up an army, raising up the body of Christ, that we can stand strong and proclaim, you are Lord. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can go, but I am sure of this one thing. My God is real, for I can feel him within. There are some things I may not know. There are some places that I can't go, but I am sure of this one thing. Well, my God is real, for I can feel him deep within. Oh, yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. Yes, God is real. Oh, I can feel him deep in my soul. I cannot tell just how I felt when Jesus, he took my sins away. But since that day, Yes, since that very hour, God has been real. For I can feel His holy power. Yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real. For He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Now this is the part where I did a first time where I was riding with my dad, and he would go off to sleep, and thinking about him, I says, well, this is what my wife wanted me to sing. We're gonna slow it way down. One more time, one more time, one more time, one more time. Lord, I'm so glad to be in the service. One more time, one more time. Hey, one more time, one more time. One more time, one more time. Lord, I'm so glad to be in the service. One more time, one more time. If my mother was here today, these are the words I know she would say. Lord, I'm so glad to be in the service. One more time, one more time. Hey, one more time, one more time. Yeah, one more time, one more time. Lord, I'm so glad to be in the service. One more time, yeah, one more time. If my father was here today, these are the words I know he would say. Lord, I'm so glad to be in the service one more time. Now I'm gonna do it like daddy used to do it. I believe he sat somewhere right around here. And as the preacher started to come through, my mama say, John, go ahead and sing. Don't hold up the service. Daddy say, honey, I'm going to sing my song. He said, one more time, one more time, one more time, one more time. Lord, I'm so glad to be in the service. One more time, one more time. Hey, one more time, one more time. Yeah, one more time, one more time. You know I'm glad to be in this service. One more time, one more time.